Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
And I had the privilege to come under his tutelage. I'll never forget, it's right at this time of the year when the teams report back. We had an auditorium-like setting, and the seniors would sit in front, take up the first couple rows, and then the juniors, sophomores, and then, of course, the freshmen, first time away from home. These guys in front are fully developed physically, some of them 300 pounds now. And those guys in the back, the freshmen, first time away from home for some of them, wet behind the ears and truly intimidated by the discrepancy in the front row and the back row. And Coach Schimbeckler would say, we need to ask three questions. Who are we? Where are we going? And how are we going to get there? What's our identity? What's our direction? And what's our strategy? He would say something like this. We're the Michigan Wolverines. We've won more football games than any other football team in the history of college football. We play in the largest stadium before the most people. We have the largest living alumni body of any university in the world. There's a great tradition that you guys are stepping into. You got big shoes to fill. Where are we going? He would say something like this. Big dreams create the magic that stirs men's souls. The most competitive guys play the most competitive games. And here at Michigan, we subscribe to the psychology of high expectations. How many of you know the morale is to the physical as 4 is to 1? Is 4 times as important your attitude as it is your actual physical ability? Who are we? We're the Wolverines. Where are we going? Anything less than a championship, we can't stomach it here. We want to win the title. Now, how are we going to do this? Listen to what he would say to these guys. He'd say, here's how we're going to do it. The coaching staff would be gathered around up here. He'd say, what you need to do is you need to say to us as coaches, coach me. Please coach me. Take me beyond myself. Take me where I can't take myself. You need to submit to the authority of the leaders of this team, this coaching staff. That's how we're going to do it. Now watch. I want to show you a graphic parallel. Who are we as we gather here tonight? Where are we going? And how are we going to get there? Who are we? John 3:6 says, humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. We're the born-again bunch. We're the ones that God has invaded our hearts, taken dominion in our hearts through the power of His Holy Spirit. Where are we going? 1 Peter 1:23 says, you've been born again, but not to a life that will quickly end. Your new life will last forever because it comes, watch this now, from the eternal living Word of God. Jesus said in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus is the Word of God. Now, how are we going to do this? Watch the parallel from that coach talking to his team. In Luke 9:23, it says, whoever would come after me must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. In other words, if you want to go with him and be with him forever, then you need to submit to his leadership, to his authority. In John 16, 13, he says, I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. That truth is in the Word of God. And I will tell you things to come. And that's in the Word of God. So what he's really saying is, if you want to go and be with me forever, then you need to hear and obey the Word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what defines the one who's going to be with him forever. That's what separates them, is in the power of the Holy Spirit, they live differently. Now, consider God's glory. Are you willing to submit to his leadership? Well, consider this. Scripture says he holds all the waters of the earth in the hollow of one hand. There are four oceans out there: the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian, and the Arctic. Two of them are more than 2,000 miles long, and yet Almighty God holds all the waters of the earth in the hollow of one hand. Who is he? What does he look like? Scripture says he holds the entire universe in the span of one hand. He grabs the wind with his fist. Watch this. He places the stars in the sky with his fingers, like mom would put saucers in the cupboard. Just to put that in context, if you took a jet plane to the nearest star going 500 miles an hour, do you know how long it would take you to get to the nearest star? 5.2 million years. Did you know that it's estimated that there are 279 billion stars? It's approximated. And he knows every star by name. The ancient writings say that the eyes of God are 10,000 times brighter than the sun. The sun was out brilliant today. It was hard to look into the sun today. And yet Almighty God, his eyes are 10,000 times brighter. He dwells in unapproachable light, which no one has seen or can see. He's omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. He's omniscient. He's all-knowing. And he announces the end from the beginning. Now watch how it gets personal now. Each one of us is fearfully and wonderfully made and has great value. Why? He knows every hair in our head, every thought before we think it, every word before we speak it, every step before we take it. Watch this. Before the beginning of the world, all the days of your life were laid out before him. He saw you in your mother's womb. In Jeremiah 1:5, it says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. He's intimate with anyone who's open to the living God. His loving kindness is better than life. His love is unconditional. He can't love us more and he can't love us less. He is love. His mercies are new every morning. You know what mercy is? Mercy is when he gives you what you need and not what you deserve. Every morning, he's available for those who reach out to him. He sent his son to die for our sins so we could spend eternity together. He gave us his Holy Spirit to help us to contend down here. Watch this now. When he promised he would never leave us nor forsake us, it's a triple negative. It's the strongest language the Bible uses. He's essentially saying, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake you. If you come after me, you can have me. And then lastly, when Jesus Christ came onto the earth, he fulfilled 60 major prophecies. The last one was made 400 years before he was born. They asked these experts, they said, the math guys, they said, what are the odds on Jesus fulfilling all those prophecies 400 years before he was born? And they said, well, you know how vast Texas is. If you took the entire state of Texas and you covered it 2 feet deep in silver dollars, can you see that in your mind's eye? And then you took one silver dollar and marked it with an X and hid it in the state of Texas. And then you blindfolded a guy. And you said, go find that silver dollar blindfolded. The odds on him doing it are the same as Jesus coming and doing what he did. There isn't even the slightest chance that Jesus is not the Son of God or the Savior of the world. He's just who he said he was. Now, with that in mind, consider the hour that we live. Consider, in a leadership vein, what is happening on our watch. 1 Chronicles 12:32, the men of Issachar were told that they understood the times and they knew what to do about it. And therein is a biblical mandate for every generation. We're supposed to understand the spiritual dynamic of the time that we live, and we're supposed to know what to do about it. The Barna Group, which has great credibility in the body of Christ, released this report in 2010. They said, the Holy Spirit in the Church of Jesus Christ today has become symbolic. He's not alive. What matters most to teens today in the church? Four things: education, career, friendship, and travel. What matters most to adults today in the church? Comfort, success, and personal achievement. Watch this now. This is an accurate, in-depth study of the church today. He said, we would choose survival in the present over eternal security. Watch how we define love in the church today. It's an absence of conflict or confrontation. It's a fear of being judgmental. ChristianPost.com reports that 1,500 pastors are quitting every month due to five things. Watch why pastors quit: moral failure, burnout, conflict, discouragement, and depression. 8 out of 10 seminary grads do not last 5 years. Josh McDowell with Campus Crusade for Christ wrote a book that came out last year. It's called The Last Christian Generation. He's basically saying if something doesn't change, there will not be another generation of young Christians. He says in his book, 70% of all young adults in the church, he gives this report about them. He said they don't believe there's any moral absolute truth. They cherry pick the scriptures. They open up the Bible and they say, I believe this, but that's outdated. That doesn't make any sense. They say there are many ways to heaven. Watch this now. Up to 94% of all young adults in the church, when they leave home, they leave the church. They're here because they're forced to be here. When they leave home and they're on their own, they're no longer here. 26% of all girls today in the United States between the ages of 14 and 19 have a sexually transmitted disease. Today, if a young girl waits until she's 25 to get married, there's a 50% chance she has the disease. 1 out of 2. Over half the homes in America today do not have an adult male in the home. The divorce rate today in the church and in the culture is identical. You can't tell the difference between the two of them. At the age of 18 and over, 80% of all boys regularly view pornography. What does pornography do to a boy, to a male? The Eskimos in Alaska, when a pack of wolves would come dangerously nearby, they would take a knife with a long blade and they would kill a rabbit or a squirrel. They would let that blood freeze on that blade overnight, and then they would stick it in the ground near where these animals were. They would come, they would smell the blood, they would lick the blade, it would numb their tongues and shred them. They kill themselves. William Struthers wrote a book, How Porn Hijacks the Male Brain. Here's what he wrote. Porn induces and releases a drug that excites and stimulates a man. Soon, though, he needs more porn. And as he takes more porn into his mind, his brain becomes altered. He can't look at your daughter and see her virtue. He looks at your daughter with lust. Over 80% of all men today have this problem. Leviticus 18:22 says, homosexuality is an abomination to a holy God. 1 Corinthians 6:9 says, you will not enter the kingdom of God. 1 Timothy 1:10 says, it disobeys the word of God. But do you realize that all over Colorado, high school clubs are forming and mounting? And if you go against them, you're said to be homophobic. You're said to be insensitive. You're said to be outdated, out of touch with reality. In James chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, it tells us how love turns cold. In other words, your love was hot, but what happened? What happened to that person who was on fire for the gospel and now they're not? What happened to them? Well, it explains it. You're enticed by your thoughts or your desires. You act upon those things in that sin. Sin leads to death. The Holy Spirit is quenched, and love turns cold. Love of God then is compromised. Sin has to be dealt with, or there's no way back to the Lord without repentance. Now watch this. Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, what will it look like in the end? And he said, well, there will be wars and rumors of wars. There will be famine and earthquakes. And these are the beginnings of sorrows. Did you know that right now we have 37 nations experiencing famine? He said, then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed for my sake, which is happening in some places in the world. But watch this next one. The love of many will grow cold, and only he who endures to the end will be saved. What does that mean? Only the one who hears and obeys the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit and lives that obedient life, that's the only one that gets saved. In Matthew 24 just told us that's what it's going to be like near the end. And in Matthew 25 starts with the word then. And there are three parables. We're just going to look at the first parable. The first parable talks about there were 10 virgins. They were all asleep at the midnight hour. Five of the virgins woke up and their lamps were filled with oil. And five of the virgins woke up and their lamps had no oil. Psalm 119:105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The oil is the Holy Spirit. And so what it is a picture of those that hear and obey the word of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Those five were welcome into the kingdom, and the other five, Jesus said, get away from me, I don't know you. So if that's an accurate interpretation, then what is it that God would say to us today that we need to be doing in order for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to be moving in the power of the living God? I want to suggest to you there are three things. Prayer, the Bible, the Word of God, and the local church, right where you are right now. Number one is prayer. In Luke 22:41, Jesus knelt down and prayed. Did you know that when the Son of God prayed, he went down? Acts 20:26, Paul knelt and prayed with them. Acts 21:5, Paul and others knelt and prayed. Ephesians 3:14, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father. 1 Kings 18:42, Elijah bowed low to the ground and he prayed with his face between his knees. It hadn't rained in almost 3 years and it rained. In Daniel before he went in the lion's den, in Daniel 6, 10 and 11, it said he knelt three times a day asking for God's help. Psalm 66, 18, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to my prayers. Isaiah 57, 15, watch this now. The high and lofty one who lives in eternity, the Holy One says this, I live in a high and holy place, and here's who I live with. I live with those whose spirits are contrite and humble. I restore the crushed spirit of the humble, and I revive the courage of those with repentant hearts. Almighty God is looking for the one whose heart is humble and yielded in reaching to Him. Lastly, John Bunyan, way back in the 1600s, he said, here's the life of prayer. The Holy Spirit makes a man aware of his sin, and he comes to the Lord for mercy and cries out, Father! Does that describe the condition of your heart? Watch what Jesus taught us, the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. He said in Matthew 6, 9 through 13, this is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Psalm 22, 3 says, he's enthroned on the praises of his people. Praise invokes the power of the Holy Spirit. When you adulate him and worship him and adore him, it invokes the power of the Holy Spirit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? In Luke 17, 21, it says the kingdom of God is within you. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what separates us. That's what identifies us. That's what makes us unique in all the world. God's Holy Spirit lives and reigns in our hearts. Give us today our daily bread. 1 Corinthians 10, 26 says, the earth is mine and everything in it. It's all His. Do we realize that it's not ours? People think, I earned that. That's mine. We worked hard for that. It's all His, and He entrusts it to us, and He calls us to live open-handed and to look around and see the need in others and respond to it and not to just put it away like we're taught for the rainy day, but to live generously, openly. Now, the prayer changes right here. Watch this now. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Now there are terms. I'll come back to that. The prayer closes by says, he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep in mind 1 Peter 5:8. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls along like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So, Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We're aware that there's an enemy that wants to take us out, and he's looking any way he can find a weakness in our homes, in our children, anywhere. The prayer's over now. And in Matthew 6, 14 and 15, Jesus says, now look, if you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive, your Father will not forgive your sins. Did you know that? If you don't forgive, God doesn't forgive. In Matthew 18, 21 and 22, Peter says, well, how many times should we forgive? Seven times? He said, 70 times seven, or every time. Watch this now. If you don't forgive, in Matthew 18, 34, you'll be sent to prison. These are Jesus' words. You'll be sent to prison and tortured. Prison is a metaphor for hell. Here's how Matthew 18 closes. That's what my heavenly Father will do to you if you refuse to forgive your brothers and sisters from the heart. If your heart is hard towards a single human being and you haven't let go of that, you've grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit and you don't have any power. Romans 5:5 says, the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's how we forgive. The Holy Spirit, that's what makes us different. Everybody gets done wrong. Everybody gets sidewinded. Everybody gets blindsided, I should say. But what makes us different is we're able, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to forgive those who sin against us. First is prayer. Second is the power of the Bible, the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the Word of God is alive and powerful. Psalm 1, verses 2 and 3. Watch this now. Meditate day and night on the Word of God, and you'll be like a tree by the riverbank that bears fruit each season. Its leaves never wither. You prosper in everything you do. That word prosper means you'll have peace in the storm. So what it's saying is that the one that's truly always, always referencing the Word of God and turning to the Word of God throughout the day, every day. It's not a Sunday thing or a Saturday night. It's an all-the-time thing. Now watch this. Because if you didn't hear or believe what I've said so far, you got to hear this. Psalm 19:7 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." In other words, the Word of God is perfect and it converts. Everyone in here has a soul. A soul is made up of three parts: your mind or your intellect, your will, the choices that you make, or your emotions, the way that you respond. Now watch what the Word of God. Watch, if you take in the Word of God every day, watch what happens to your soul. Romans 12:2, you become transformed by the renewing of your mind. We, however, have the mind of Christ. We have the ability to see things above purely a human level. Now, if you stay regularly in the Word of God, watch what it does to your will, your volition, the choices that you make. It empowers you to say yes and no to the right and wrong things. That's where it comes from. That's where Jesus is the Word of God. In the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're fighting temptation, if you're fighting frustration, any number of things, the Word of God is the solution. And your problem might be significant, so you got to spend more time. Now watch what it does to our emotions. There are 9 fruits to God's Holy Spirit. As you take in the Word of God and walk in obedience to it, these 9 things become increasingly true in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you struggle with any of those things, what's the solution? The solution is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. In the power of the Holy Spirit, that's how we are equipped. That's what separates us. It doesn't matter as all hell breaks loose. We're up to the challenge if we are in the Word of God. Now watch. What happens to those who suffer with depression or anger or fear? What about if you've got somebody you know that has real gay tendencies? What about pornography or lust? What about discouragement or low self-esteem? What about that guy or that gal? Here's what the Word of God says. In 1 John 2:14, God's Word lives in your heart, and that's how you win the battle with the evil one. Folks, hear me on this now. Get in the Word of God. If you know somebody who's down and out, get them in the Word of God. If they won't open the Word of God, pray for them. Pray that God will open their hearts. There is no other solution. The solution is the Bible, the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's what happened to me. In Matthew 13:22, it says, "The cares of this world will choke the Word of God." I was coaching at the University of Colorado. Our football team was undefeated. It was early in the year. And the pastor of the church where I attended announced that next week there would be a visiting preacher. His name was Jack Taylor. He had been preaching for 42 years. And he was coming with the single most important thing that he had learned in 42 years of preaching. I remember sitting there that Sunday with my wife Lindy thinking, what could that be, the single most important thing? Well, we play the next Saturday and win. We're still undefeated. We come in to church that next Sunday, and this pastor, Jack Taylor, these are his first words. He steps around in front of the podium. He says, you want to know about a man? You want to know whether a man has character or not? All you need to do is look in his wife's face, because everything that he's invested or withheld will be in her countenance. He said, Almighty God has mandated that every man bring his wife to splendor in Jesus Christ. I turned and I looked at Lindy. We had been married over 35 years. I didn't see splendor. I saw torment. I didn't see contentment. I saw anguish. And I began to defend myself to myself. I began to say, yeah, but look at all the balls that I've got to juggle. Look at all the pressure. Look at all the challenges. And so for like two, I didn't hear another word this pastor preached. I was talking to myself. So like 2 weeks went by, and I realized that in my wife's countenance, I was exposed as a man. Promise Keepers was filling stadiums. I mean, my reputation was good. But right there, in my precious wife, I was exposed. So I quit coaching at the university at the end of that year. How many of you know quitting your job does not bring your wife to splendor? You know what happened? You know what happened? I had a heart problem. I was selfish. It was about me. There was no way out. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. You know what happened? I cried out to the Lord for 9 years. 9 years went by. And I got a Valentine's card. You know what it said? I finally found the man I thought I married. I just had to die, guys. It was all about me. And the Lord had to do a deep and profound work in my heart. 2 Corinthians 2, 15 and 16. Watch this. I bet you haven't heard this before. It's not that it hasn't crossed your path before, but in light of what we've been saying, watch this. Our lives are like a Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But the fragrance is perceived differently by two groups: those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To those who are perishing, we are a dreadful smell of death. To those who are being saved, we're a life-giving perfume. Here's how it works. Metamorphosis, change, takes place when there's three key ingredients. If you want to turn limestone to marble, you need intense heat, extended pressure, and time. There's no shortcut. There's no easy way. There's no quick fix. It's a surrender. Almighty God has got to take over. It's later than anybody's letting on. You know what it says in Isaiah 38:19? A father to the children shall make known the truth. Did you know that Almighty God holds the man accountable for the spiritual temperature of his home? Did you know that studies have shown that if mom comes to faith, there's a 19% chance that children will come to faith? But if dad comes to faith and leads this surrendered life, 93% come to faith. I want to tell you there's power in prayer. There's power in the Word of God. And then lastly, there's power in the local church. The church was started by Jesus. He said, Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. In Ephesians 4:11, it says the church is led by pastors who care for God's people. Now watch this. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, It says, preach the word of God. Be prepared, patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. Beware! A time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound doctrine. They will reject the truth. Don't be afraid to suffer, Pastor. Just keep giving them the good news. In other words, the reason these pastors are dropping and the reason that the clergy has been compromised is because people are no longer really wholeheartedly embracing the truth of the gospel. They show up and it takes care of an obligation, but they're not living it during the week. God calls his shepherds to be courageous. It's the highest calling in this life is to divide the word of God. Watch this now. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us. And the reason that we each have a spiritual gift is to help each other. My spiritual gift is Romans 12:8, exhortation. When I was a coach, I could rally them, motivate them, challenge them, inspire them. That's my gift. What's your gift? Can I tell you something? That day is here. You can't just come to church. You have to get involved. It's getting more and more difficult. Almighty God is calling. This is a great church. This is one of the great churches in the state of Colorado. And Almighty God is calling the great churches to show the way and set the pace. I'm going to close, and I want to give you this thought. It's Deuteronomy 20, verse 8. It says, who is the man who's afraid and faint-hearted? Let him depart and return to his heart home, so he won't make other hearts melt like his heart. Did you know when you're weak, you make everybody around you weak? Did you know when you're strong and you're filled with God, you make everybody around you stronger? I'm going to ask you to respond to this message. If you're willing to start every day for the rest of your life on your knees in prayer and in the Word of God, if you're willing to read the Word of God every day the rest of your life, and if you're willing to be an active part of this church, your church, stand up. If you're not willing, don't stand. That's a tremendous response. This church is a church right after God's heart. I want to pray for you. I want to suggest to you the hour's changing, and this church has got to take its place. You got to rise up. You got to cover the clergy, the pastors, their families. You got to circle the wagons. You got to come together. You got to intensify. Father God, in the name of Jesus, please close your eyes and let me pray for you. Father God, in the name of Jesus.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.